I was looking around a minute ago, and I realized this thing is going to be dead, Brother Steve. It's on. Go back. I left it on. Go back and put a battery in it. And I realized I forgot Brother Troy. I looked over and didn't see him here. He's want to remember to keep him in our prayers. And, it's hard to get everybody here together anymore. That's unusual for our church. It really is. And I like to see, of course, preachers like to see everybody here. And I know sometimes folks can't. And the world is a demanding world today that's creating great problems for the people of God, for the church, and great confusion to the men of God, because in a lot of ways you don't know how to handle a lot of situations, and like you'd like to, and like you need to, and it's hard to, because you want to be as understanding with people as you possibly can. But I forgot, we got another one out. And I forgot, Brother Barnett. I'll get it out in a minute. But several men out tonight. And, it's hard to get things in continuity with people if they're not there. God's Word is preached in continuity. And it's really hard to keep that in focus when you don't hear everything. You hear bits and pieces, especially if you're preaching through a book and you hear bits and pieces. It's kind of hard, really, to lay that book to heart and know exactly what it means. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible to the book of 1 Peter. We've been trying to preach in through that some and preach several messages on Peter's life and the experiences he had with the Lord and how they impacted him and changed his life and made that stone out of him that the Lord had prophesied that he would be in John 1:42. And so I want to preach right on what I can. I've not forgotten the Antichrist. Well, Lord willing, we get back on the Antichrist as well. And then 1 John, 1 Peter, and the Antichrist. That's a whole lot of heap of studying to try to do when you're preaching in series that way. And so I want to ask you to turn tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 13. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 13. I believe we left off verse 12 on our last the last time we preached. And the Bible says there, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're thankful tonight for the writings of Peter. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that this book has been to me in my life as I've read through it and gleaned from it the great promises of God that are there, encouraging us, Lord, as we walk through times of suffering and trial, giving us the glorious promise that God is there with us. We thank you tonight, Father, for the privilege we have to be here. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for our people that are here tonight. And I pray that you'll bless me tonight, Lord, and help me. I'm just clay, and I need that fresh anointing that the Spirit of God can give, can only give. I pray you'll fill me tonight, Lord, with grace and great glory. Fill me with the Holy Ghost of God and allow me to preach to your people. I do pray that souls will be saved tonight, sinners will come to Christ, and Lord, be regenerated by the power of God. I pray that your people will find divine help. We pray, Lord, for a visitation from the Spirit of God in this place. For we realize without you, we can do nothing. I pray you'll have your will and way not only in my heart, but in the heart of your people that is here tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for the glory you get and give in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We stood on the platform tonight, and I told Brother Steve, I said, I'm going to be kind tonight. I'm going to shorten the message, or I have shortened it from what I thought it was going to be down a considerable amount. I intended to preach through verse 13, 14, 15, and 16 because these verses are all attached together and they go together and they need to be preached together, and I will preach them probably all together the next time that I speak from this particular portion of Scripture. But I began to study and read, and I didn't get any further than verse, not even all of verse number 13, just there in the first part of that verse where Peter said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, that's all further I got. He goes on to say, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And all of that ties in together. But I got no further than the first phrase there, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, I preached from that before, and I don't intend to preach it the same way tonight. I don't even remember. I just know I preached from it. I don't know when or what, but I do know I preached from it, but I'm going to preach from it again tonight here preaching through the book. And notice what Peter said there, gird up, draw up, cinch up the loins of your mind. The loins being the strength of the mind, just like the loins is the strength of a man. The Lord told Elijah, gird up your loins, when he had that long way to go from Mount Carmel to that cave that he hid himself in. There's been other men in the Bible that the Lord has referred to as girding up your loins, that is, girding up the strength of your life and your body, and that's what the Lord's talking about here. Girding up the loins of your mind, the strength of your thinking. And I want to preach for a little while, if God will help me, on the thought of pulling ourselves together. Pulling ourselves together, pulling it all together, compacting it in some degree. I'm sure here tonight that most of us, I would think that most of us, have heard or either maybe even used this term at one time or another in our life, or we've heard it many times in our life when we've heard somebody say, you need to pull yourself together. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Pulling yourself together. Oftentimes it's used often when sudden fear comes upon some people. And they begin to lose their composure. And I've heard people say in automobile accidents, I've heard men go to people and say, you need to pull yourself together. Everything is going to be all right. I heard that term used when I was in combat in Vietnam, and heard it more than one time when we'd come under fire. And some young men my age at the time, I was a young man at that time, believe it or not, they couldn't seem to handle the pressure or the stress of that firefight. And I've heard our CO, and I've heard our platoon sergeants, and I've heard our squad leaders, and I've heard other men tell these men, you got to pull it together. You got to pull yourself together. Draw it in. Draw it in. Tighten things up in your mind. Everything is going to be all right. And that's what the Lord is telling us here in this verse of Scripture tonight. Everything is going to be all right if you will simply gird up the loins of your mind. You've heard folks use that term when they've been involved in a great tragedy. A family member, someone has a problem, and you hear somebody breaks down over it. I know when we buried one of my uncles, we were coming out of the funeral home, and my mother just collapsed in the funeral parlor. And I heard one of my brothers say, Mama needs to pull things together. She's nervous. She's shook up. She's kind of messed up in her mind. She's not thinking right. And she needs to get a hold of reality. And I think that's what Peter is saying here. We need to gird up the loins of our mind and try our best to get a hold of reality, of how things are going. But I don't want to use this in this way at all tonight. I want to use this tonight in thinking about our priorities. pulling ourselves together in our priorities. I'm afraid that we have let ourselves loosen up on what our priorities are. We've let our minds loosen up. In reality, we have let our thinking loosen up. And the loins of our mind have become flabby rather than becoming strong. And we're thinking on thoughts and causing us to do things contrary to the will of God or contrary to what the Lord would have us to do. And I'm honest with you, there are some of us tonight that need to get our priorities in order where they ought to be. And you'll never do that until you draw up the loins or gird up the loins of your mind. I joke about my radio program. I call it the Suppertime Hour Radio Broadcast. And we joke about it here. Brother Steve will say, "Preacher, it's time to do the narrowcast." And we talk about it's not a broadcast, it's a narrowcast, because Brother Hall is somewhat narrow-minded on Christianity. I think there is a tightrope to walk in Christianity. There is a plumb line in Christianity. There is a narrow way in Christianity. We're not on the Broadway anymore, ladies and gentlemen. That Broadway leads to death. But God has put us on a narrow way that leads unto life. Amen. And that loose living and that loose-mindedness, the Bible says, is carnal. And the Bible is clear: to be carnally minded is death. Amen. If we're thinking all the time on carnal things and our mind is never on spiritual things and the Spirit of God is never in control of our mind, then, ladies and gentlemen, we are carnal-minded, and the Bible said to be carnally-minded is life, death, but to be spiritually-minded is life evermore. Now, I'm afraid we have let our minds loosen up, and we think on everything. And a lot of the things we're thinking on is certainly not conducive to Christian living. And it's caused us to lose sight of our priorities. I thought about tonight. I've got three things here by way of introduction. I'll mention them and then I'll just hit them real quickly. But I thought about tonight three things of real priority that we ought to have. Number one, ourselves. Amen. Need to think about ourselves. Now, I'll clarify that in a minute. And then there is Christ. And then there is the church. And we could add a fourth thing to that. We could add our job to that. And I'd like for all of our people just to walk up here and put a number under each category and which one of those things are prioritized in your life. Which one is number one? Which one is number two? Which one is number three? And which one is number four? You may be surprised to find out that you come up with a big fat goose egg in God's column if you don't have those priorities where the Bible says those priorities ought to be. Have somebody will hold tonight, I'll skin. That's what Brother Nolan says. You hold them and I'll skin them. We can neglect ourselves. Now, I'll get into this more in a little while, but failing to read our Bibles and pray and this and that, we can neglect our own spiritual life. In fact, Song of Solomon chapter number 1 in verse 6, that little bride said, look not upon me because I'm black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. And that's just the Bible's way, ladies and gentlemen, of saying we have neglected our own personal Christian life. And I'm going to tell you something. If you neglect your own Christian experience and your own personal life, I'm telling you that you're somewhere in your life, you are headed for disaster. You cannot neglect what God has put in you and ever expect to have the power and the joy and the blessings of God upon your life and family. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people fail to do that. We're busy doing everything else, but we don't have time for ourselves. And what little bit of time we get for ourselves, it's spent on the computer, or television, come on, or this or that, but it's not spent on spiritual matters. Now I'm telling you, if you neglect spiritual matters, your personal spiritual life will go down the drain. I'll never forget years ago, I wasn't living like I ought to live. And I called Brother Bob Stecker, preaching when I got saved. And I told him who it was, and the very first thing came out of his mouth, he said, "How's your spiritual life?" Now, I'm going to tell you, I had to hem-haw you. How you do that? You know how you do that banker when you're late and he calls, won't know where the payment's at, and you kind of shuffle your feet around, don't know exactly what to say. He caught me off guard. I'm wondering how you would feel tonight if I come to each one of us tonight and asked you, how is your spiritual life? Are you taking care of everybody else's vineyard but neglecting your own vineyard for the Lord? And you cannot neglect you to church and ever expect to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. Impossibility. I want to say, secondly, we can neglect our family. We can neglect our family. Where is your family at in your priority? I'm going to tell you something. Some men work so much, they couldn't possibly be spending time with their family. Come on in the house. I'm here to tell you, you cannot neglect your family and have a family. Very long, that is. If you don't gird up your loins concerning your family, I'll guarantee your family needs a head around in order for that family to operate the way God wants it to operate. And when that head is not around, that family cannot operate the way they're supposed to. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I come and called my wife one time in a meeting. I was in a meeting. She didn't go. I called her and said, "Honey, how you doing?" She said, "Terrible." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "My head's not here. I've lost my head." And I didn't get it there for a minute. I said, "You've done what?" She said, "I've lost my head." I said, "Where's it at?" And she said, "Wherever you are." I thought that was pretty good. Can't neglect your family. There was a man by the name of Eli that had two boys. And they were raised, come on now, raised in the temple. If I can bring that down to today, they were raised in the house of God. But you know what the Bible said about them two boys? In 1 Samuel 2:12, it said, "Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial." Boy, and I'm going to tell you, I'd never seen that like that before. He said the sons twice. The sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They were the sons of Satan. They were raised in the house of God. Their daddy was a preacher. And still they were the sons of Belial. I'm telling you, somewhere along the line, Eli neglected those boys in their life, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I told my wife tonight, I said, I wonder what would happen to our family if something happened to me. If God moved me or I died, I wonder if they'd go on for God or they'd drop out along the sideline. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If they ain't hitting on 8 cylinders now, they surely to God wouldn't hit on 8 cylinders when Daddy's gone. Amen. Amen. Praise God, and you can tell them all I said so. Amen. Amen. Some of them ought to be here tonight. Some of them can't help it working, but some of them ought to be here tonight instead of working. Amen. Amen. Some of them can't help it, but some of them can.
Amen.
Amen. I've known preachers before that'll have people working for them, and they'll keep them out of church on their church night, but they wouldn't work overtime on the night they got to go to the pulpit. Sorry. Sorry. And I said so, amen. Sorry. I won't charge anything for that. I won't say, thirdly, we can neglect Christ, the salvation He provides, and the church that He purchased with His own blood. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Come on now, how are we going to escape? Hey, we can neglect the Lord Jesus. Surely to save my soul, if we had one priority in life, our number one priority would be pleasing the Lord. Oh, if He brought us out of sin, if He washed us in His blood, if He delivered us from hell, surely our top priority ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you can't have Him as a priority if the church is not a priority. He bought it with His own blood.
Amen.
Somebody say amen or oh me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm loose tonight. I think y'all's bound up. Anybody out there constipated, are you? Spiritually? That's what Elliot Smith preached on.
Amen.
Need to be moved for Christ a little bit. Help Brother Hall a little bit. Hey, listen carefully. How can we pull ourselves together? See, when we start loosening up the loins of our mind, we're not thinking right. Now, I'm telling you, I want to say this again. I've been in a few firefights in Vietnam, and when men got to where they wasn't thinking right, they got hurt.
Right.
Now, I'm telling you, you get to where you're not thinking right, you're going to get hurt somewhere down the line if you let the loins of your mind loosen up and think on wrong things that are not conducive to Christianity. I'm telling you that somewhere down the line, you're going to have a problem. How are we going to pull it all together? How can we pull ourselves together? There's only one way, and that's by girding up the loins of our mind. There are some others being sober, and I know all this, but I'm not getting to them tonight. We'll get them on the next go-round. But girding up the loins of our mind. I'm talking about bringing the lust of our mind into the law of Christ.
Amen.
Now you'll catch that by slow freight after a while. Bringing the lust of our mind. I'm not talking about necessarily sensual lust. I'm just talking about those things that our mind feeds upon and lusts after. More than what it loved the law of Christ.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. Amen.
Amen.
Come on in the house. We have thoughts that are loose and wandering. Thoughts heedlessly trailing over this and that, allowing imaginations of our former heathen lusts. The loins of our minds being unbound and let down to flow over. Can't read my own writing. Wherever they may list. In other words, we just let her loose and think on imaginations and those heathen lusts that we once had and the world out yonder. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when we do that, we need to gird up the loins of our mind and think on, hey, if there be any virtue, Paul said, think on these things. Those things that are honest, those things that are true, those things that are holy, those things that are pure. Think on these things is what Paul said. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Think like He does. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now listen carefully. There's some hindrances to girding up the loins of your mind. Some of you sick already. There's some hindrances. I'll say number one, pleasures can be a hindrance to us girding up the loins of our mind. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Duty is the sacrifice for the great altar of life. Duty. Our duty to Christ. I am a debtor, Paul said.
Yes.
Now I'm here to tell you that we have got duties as a child of God, ladies and gentlemen. And they are the great sacrifice of life. What I'm saying is we sacrifice to maintain our duties that we're called upon to do according to the Bible and what God has to say about it.
Yes.
Is anybody listening? Hallelujah. We'll let our duties just roll by. We're not as fervent as we ought to be in the duties that God gives us. Teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, coming to practice. I could just name a few things. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And we start getting loose. Dragging in late. Come on, I won't charge you anything for that. Dragging in late. Amen. Leaving early. Amen. I'm telling you, when these things start, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that you need to gird up the loins of your mind and get narrow-minded and think on some things of Christ. Hallelujah. I want to say some more about them pleasures. Just stay right with me. The pleasures. Duty is a sacrifice for great altar of life. And pleasure and recreation is to come in only as it helps us lay that sacrifice more constantly and worthily upon that holy altar. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Charles Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers, as far as I'm concerned, that ever lived. One of the greatest. For modern day preaching, I'd say modern day, died what, Brother Steve? 1902, 1903, 1899? 1893. You sure about that? He's still a modern day preacher. But I'd say he's probably the greatest preacher since Paul. Great man of God. But he stayed under so much pressure that he knew that if he didn't get some recreation, that he'd lose it. And there was times that he did go into states of depression. Amen. And did have to lay out the pulpit. And so he started taking trips to Menton, France, in order for not to go down there and play golf. No, some of them say, well, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to play a little golf. I wouldn't beat one of them stupid little balls around for love or money. That's the stupidest sport. If there is any stupid sport, that's it. Trying to beat a little ball about that big around and around. And I might as well say this. It don't matter who is winning the tournament. That black dude's always got his face in the Messenger newspaper. I'm talking about what? Can't even name his name now.
Tiger.
Tiger's down only six holes and he's trailing. Tell me about who's winning. I ain't give a flip about the loser.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid sport anyway. I walked in up here the other day to get my truck out of the garage. And just as I walked in the door, a woman sitting there said, "Whoa!" Throw the paper down. I said, maybe I'm in the wrong place, ma'am. She said, no. Said the Wildcats just lost it. I said, well, sorry about that. She said, they didn't lose it. They gave it away. I said, well, praise God, may they all lose. Hallelujah. Amen. And she looked at me like I was kind of crazy, you know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, I got a big thing in the mail today. Said, win a trip to the NCAA. I said, I wouldn't go if I won it.
Amen.
What I'm saying is the pleasure and the leisure that we take ought to be to rejuvenate us spiritually to where we can come back to the duties God's given us and lay that duty on the altar of sacrifice and labor for God. Hey, we better labor, for the night is coming, ladies and gentlemen, when no man can work. And I'm telling you, there's coming a day of rest. And until that day of rest comes, we are to be faithful to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Faithful. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful.
That's right.
What would y'all think of me if I called over here tonight about 6:30, said somebody's going to fill in for me? I'm giving a gun class today and ain't quite got it done yet. I've got to finish that up. You'd say, that dude's out of here. Amen. Oh, you're the preacher. What's your duty?
Right. Amen.
I'm glad I got three or four amens. Better hit the second thing. Aimless and frivolous reading. I read one fellow today. I told Brother Steve, honestly now, hear me well, and I'm not making a joke. I heard one fellow, I read after one fellow today, rather, in the commentary. He said, you can't expect to be spiritual if you go home and read the Sunday newspaper. And I said, Miss Hall, I read it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so that makes me about as carnal as you can get. And try to catch Fox News clips on my laptop. Buddy, I'm out of here on that stuff. Oh yeah, God done spoke to my heart on some of that stuff. Aimless reading. I mean, hey, reading them little old novels and books and things that don't amount. Love stories. And you sit there and fantasize over them stupid love stories. And your mind starts getting real big. And you get way away from God when you do that. I'm going to guarantee that's what's put a lot of preachers on the internet on porn. Come on now. I'm going to set you men up here. If I don't get some amens, I'm going to indict you men and come up here and sit on the front row. You know I'm telling it right. Praise God. I'm talking about, hey, John Anselm died in the year, I think, 1016, and he said, I find no rest but in a nook with a book. Now, I'm not implying you got to, now I'll mention this in a minute, but I'm not implying you got to read that Bible 24 hours a day. But I'll tell you what that Bible did say. It said we ought to meditate on it 24 hours a day. Woo! Ain't we having fun? Neglected Bible reading. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is a man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the city's corner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, there it is, what I'm talking about. In his law shall he meditate day and night. I wonder how much meditation we're doing in that Bible. Have you ever chewed around on one of them verses like a cud? Like a cow chews a cud, could, whatever you want, I call it a cud, whatever you want to call it. C-U-D, that's cud, ain't it? C-U-D-L-E, cuddle. Well, C-U-D would be cud.
Right.
Amen. You chew around on it, swallow it, belch it back up, and let her go a little bit more. I'm going to tell you, I found one and I can't get it out of my craw. If I can find it again, I cannot get it out of my craw. I mentioned it in here the other night. I'm going to find it, I think. Hallelujah. I believe I will. Come on, Lord. Will. I cannot seem to find it, but I'm going to tell you what it says. I just found it. Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing. When? In the day of thy power. Oh, my. They'll be willing in the day of thy power. Friend, I'm telling you what. It's going to take the power of God to make us willing to saints to labor in our duties for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen carefully. Neglected Bible reading. Boy, this is going to... Bad associations. I'm talking about, hey, we need to avoid keeping company with those who continually conduct themselves in a worldly fashion and make bad or leave bad impressions upon your life. The company you keep matters a whole lot. I'll tell you who you better find to run with. Somebody that's a little more spiritual than you are. Somebody below you will drag you down to their level, but somebody that is higher than you will pull you up to where you ought to be in God. That's right.
Go ahead now.
But I'm telling you, hobnobbing with the wrong crowd.
Amen.
Hobnobbing with the wrong people. Come on now.
Amen.
And you know they're leaving bad impressions upon your life. You know they're not living where you're living and how. You know they're not living like they ought to be living.
Right.
Yeah. Bad associations. Now I'm going to tell you who's bad for that. Young people under peer pressure.
Right.
Can't seem to pull away from it. That worldly crowd is like a magnet, ladies and gentlemen. Always tugging, always pulling, always tugging on the heart of those that are trying to live for God. I'm going to tell you what I tell them to take a hike down the lane, buddy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can run with a crowd that hates and despises your pastor, that ain't saying much for you as a member of Island Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
I won't charge you a thing for that. I ain't saying much.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Boy, it got quiet now. I don't give a flip. It does get quiet. The attitude, some attitudes tell me that their minds are not girded up on spiritual matters. And probably they're not because of those that they've affiliated or associated themselves with. Oh boy. Didn't old Amnon pick himself a Lulu of a companion?
Yes, sir.
Thought he had a good fella.
Right.
Till his good buddy enticed him to lay with his own sister.
That's right.
And didn't go well.
No.
Ain't nobody getting nervous, are you?
Great.
I'm talking about bad associations. Running with those that will drag you down. Their conduct is worldly. They listen to the wrong music. They wear their caps backwards when the preacher ain't around. They might even cuss a little bit. And I know they tell dirty jokes. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Great.
I ain't running with nobody constantly cussing in my ear.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's turning some of you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's turning you from God. Oh, we're not on the air, so I don't have to worry about getting cussed out. Thank God for that. Listen carefully. Failing to maintain a private prayer life. Said in Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We really got a private prayer life. Or the only time we pray is at church. Now loosen up or I'll go back on them associations again.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. Parents that will let their children run with a crowd like that, they ain't got their loins of their mind girded up either, friend. Hallelujah. What some of y'all need to do is get you a backbone, you parents, like a solo, and tell your youngins, bless God, this is the way it's going to be or else.
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. You're going to lose them.
Great.
You're going to lose them. And I've been around long enough to know whose fault it's going to be when you lose them, the preachers. Just like that widow woman, Elijah put meal in her barrel and oil in her cruse, and she is as happy as a lark as long as she had bread to eat. But the very minute that boy died, she started blaming Elijah. What have you? What have I done? Oh, thou man of God, you come down here to call my sin to remembrance. Everything was smooth sailing when there was meal in the barrel and oil in the crew. But when the boy died, guess whose fault it was? It was the preacher's. Woo! Now, some of you men ought to be saying amen. You are as noodle-backed as anything I've ever seen in my born days. You, praise God. Say amen, Flip Phillip. Thanks, son. Careless attendance to church services, I've already read that. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. I want to ask something. Have you exhorted anybody tonight? Did you drop a word which is like an apple of gold in a picture of silver tonight? Did you go by somebody and shake somebody's hand and tell them you loved them tonight, glad they're in the house of God tonight? I noticed Miss Kim over here talking to Miss Hall. I said, hallelujah to God. I'm glad somebody went and talked to my wife tonight. Made me feel good. Some of you other ladies make me feel good. What I'm saying is exhorting one another. I'm telling you, church, listen to me. As human beings, we're all in this little barrel together, every one of us. And as a church, we're all definitely in that little bucket that's in that barrel. And buddy, we better learn to exhort one another. I'm talking about encourage one another. Hey, we're living in a rough day, and if we don't come to church and exhort one another, and he said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Praise God, I'm telling you, I like to walk in somebody. I said, good to see you tonight, preacher. Praise God, preach the paint off the walls. Amen. Good to see you tonight, preacher. Rear back and let her rip. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm ready for it. Brother Steve told him, Brother Steve got himself in a heap of trouble now. I'm talking about a lot of trouble, Ben. He told me the other day, he said, I'd be ashamed of you if you didn't get on my case when I needed it. Oh, boy. Boy, he just took that door and said, whoop. See, when somebody tells you that, there ain't a thing they can say about it. See, you can just burn them up, buddy. I mean, I'm talking about burn them good. There ain't a thing they can do about it. Amen. Like Ragman over here, he's in trouble too. Told his mom, grandma today, I look like a pot-bellied pig. You know what I said to him? I said, you believe that God ever made a mistake? He said, God don't never make no mistakes. They never made one. I said, you made one. I got your attention now. Exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. Now, that's some hindrances. But there's some helps. Listen carefully. And I'll be done in just a minute. There's some helps. Wherefore, he said, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you under the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach any of them, but I've got to preach about them. Passionate love for the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the greatest help you can have in girding up the loins of your mind. I'm talking about loving Him with an unfailing, undying love. Knowing that there is nothing in heaven or in the earth nor beneath the earth, neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor life, nor death, separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Now you get hold of this. It's not talking about His love dying. He loved His unto the end. It's talking about separate us and our love from Him. Read that. Read those verses. Praise God, I'm talking about loving Him. Hallelujah! Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. All thy mind, all thy power. Amen to God. It's time we got some spiritual heartburn around here from the love of God in our heart. Like a flame of burning. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'll tell you, if you think on Him, He's big enough to occupy your mind 24/7. Praise God. You start thinking about how big God is and taking on God. Then all this nonsense. Woo! He's a big God, Brother Doug. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Here's a guy that loved God. John followed Jesus to the judgment hall and then to the cross. You think John loved him? Amen. He stood at the cross until the last drop of blood flowed from his body. Amen. He heard the last words that were uttered from his lips. So I tell you, John followed him unto the end. Think he loved him? Well, I think he did. No wonder they called him John the Beloved. I wish I loved him that much. I don't know as I can say that I do. I would to God that I did. John stood by while they took a cat of nine tails to him. John was there when they crowned him with the thorns. John was there when he bowed his head and said, "It is finished."
That's right.
John heard him say, "Having loved his own that which were in the world, he loved him unto the end." John said, "If he's going to love me unto the end, I'm going to return the favor and love him unto the end." Yeah. Woo! I'm just about ready, praise God, to get halfway happy tonight and a little bit religious, praise God. What about that old maniac in Mark 5? You know what he wanted to do after he got saved? He wanted to go with Jesus. He said, "Lord, bid me that I can go with you." He said, "No, you go back to your people. You tell them how good the Lord's been." You said, "You go back and witness to your own folk." Some of those others, Peter, James, and John, and others, they got to follow him. Stay right with him. But he told that old maniac, said, "You go back to your people." That old maniac said, "I want to go with you." I'm telling you, that's only natural if you're saved by the grace of God and the Holy Ghost lives in your heart. It's just a natural thing to want to be around where Jesus is at. Hallelujah. Woo! Some of y'all want to come up here on the platform. Praise God, you might get barred and charged. Barred and charged. Huh? Woo! I get around. Hallelujah to God. This old Kentucky boy was driving down the highway and had a flat tire. He got out of his car, put a bouquet of flowers on the grill, and walked around to the back, put a bouquet of flowers on the back. Here comes this car driving by. This guy drives by and sees them flyers and wonders what in the world's going on. But he stops around and comes back and he walked up to the window and said, "Fella," said, "you got a problem?" He said, "Yeah, I got a flat tire." He said, "Well, what in the world are you doing with those flowers on the grill and on your bumper?" He said, "Well, I always heard if you have car trouble, you ought to put a flyer in the front and a flyer in the back." That old maniac had a fire burning, folks. What about them two on the road to Emmaus? Said, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us?" And the minute he left, they headed to that upper room and said, "Jesus is alive. And by the way, he's appeared unto Simon." Hallelujah to God. I can tell you tonight, he's alive. Somebody said, "How do you know?" He has appeared to me on the road that day. Woo! And saved me by his marvelous grace. That's how I know he's alive. Amen. I think about Paul. Paul being saved on the Damascus Road. You know how much love he had for the Lord? He hadn't been saved 30 seconds. And he said, "Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do?" I wonder if you'd ask the Lord that tonight. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Somebody's chicken to do it. You're afraid of what he might tell you to do. Come on, man. What about Mary Magdalene? Oh, somebody said she wiped his feet with her hair after the wept tears. Yeah, she done more than that. While the whole crowd, including John and Peter, departed, she hung around that sepulcher, buddy. Well, she had a love for the Lord. She hung around that sepulcher. Amen to God. And I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes hanging around when everybody else is gone pays off, friend. Jesus showed up on the scene that day. She thought it was a gardener and said, sir, if you'll tell me where you put him, I'll go and get him.
Amen.
He said, Mary.
That's right.
She said, Rabboni.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, she got a glimpse of something that morning. Don't tell me women don't have a part in the church and
right.
in the work of God.
Amen.
Friend, she got a view that morning of something nobody else got to see.
Amen. That's right.
In the sunlight of the morning. Can you imagine while the sunlight of the morning shines upon his face and the dew of the night is in the locks of his hair? And there's Mary Magdalene at his feet, worshiping God in spirit and in truth because she had a passion. She had a love that death could not put out. She loved him up to the end, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
I want to ask you tonight, how's your love for him? May I say, secondly, there's another way to help. That's have a high and determined purpose in life. I didn't mean to preach this long. I don't even know what time it is. Oh, it ain't even 7:30 yet. Praise God, we got a long time. I won't be with a few minutes. Hour and a half, 2 hours. A high and determined purpose. Well, I started to preach on Joshua, but I spelled his name Josh-us. Joshua, for the determined fella, said, you crowd, you do whatever you want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise God, I'm determined. I'm not being turned around. I'm not going in another direction. I'm not going to compromise. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm going to pull myself together, gird up the loins of my mouth, and serve God. I'm as loose as a goose. About ready to jump over a few pews. I'd say that was for how determined are you? What about Job? You think Joshua was determined? You listen to what Job said. Job said, Though he slay me, yet will I love him. Son, I'm going to tell you something. That's some pretty good determination. Let him kill me if he wants to. I'm going to go on and trust him. If some of you would say that tonight, you'd get over your mully grubs and your carpet burnt lower lip. Praise God. Your sad countenance and your bad attitudes. If you just realize tonight, like Job did, be determined that even if God killed you, if it come down to your death, you would serve him. You know where David Livingston died? How many people in here knows where David Livingston died? That boy does. David Livingston died in Africa on his knees with his face in a cot praying for the heathen in Africa. I'd say David Livingston was pretty determined. Anybody ever heard about David Brainerd?
Yes, sir.
They could track David Brainerd in the snow of the Northeast by the blood that dripped out of his frostbitten feet, carrying the gospel to the Indians up in the Northeast. They said David Brainerd, when he prayed, could fall down in 8 inches of snow and pray and get so hot praying while he prayed that he'd melt the snow 3 foot around him. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe in praying like that. That's because you don't have any God around you, too.
Amen.
I could go on. Anybody ever heard of Robert Jaffrey? One of the greatest modern-day missionaries that ever lived. You know where he died? On a cot in the Philippines in a Japanese concentration camp. Carrying the gospel.
Amen.
Determined, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I wonder if we're that determined. I wonder if we got a real purpose in life. Or are we just floating around, our flabby mind just floating here and there, and we're not really girded up. We're not focused on nothing. We have a purpose in mind for nothing. We're just rolling with the flow and rolling with the punches and let the good times roll. Time to pull yourself together, friend. You ain't got long to do it either. Jesus coming again. Psalm 109:19, verse 101. Whoever wrote that psalm said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Can you get a hold of that? I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might obey the word of God. Somebody said, you're tough, preacher. Amen, the Bible's tough.
That's right. Amen.
What about Paul? Galatians 6:17. He said, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul said, you're not going to turn me. You're not going to change my mind. I bear in my body the marks. I've been beaten with stripes 39 times, 5 times over. I've got the marks in me of the cross. How many times have you ever been beaten for Jesus' sake? Oh, we live in America. We're not heathens. Run out to Hollywood and spend a little time. Or up to New York City. Find out how many heathens is in Los Angeles and San Francisco and New York, the bigger towns.
Amen.
Go to Louisville.
Yes, sir.
My brother told me there tonight, he said, there is a black man that kills a black man every night in Louisville. Turf wars. Want that money, boy. Wanting them drugs. I'm going in the house now. I want to say, not only a passionate love for Christ, and not only high and determined standards, but making the right decisions. Gird up the loins of your mind so you can make rational decisions. I'm about done. Don't get nervous. I ain't been preaching that long. Psalm 119, verse 59. The psalmist said, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He said, I thought hell I was, and I turned to God. I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty good decision.
Amen.
I believe if some of you in here tonight would think how you are and how you're living, you'd turn to God.
Amen.
You'd turn your feet another direction.
Amen.
You'd walk in another direction. If you want something bad enough, you get it.
Amen.
Brother Steve asked me the other day, he said, preacher, said, you ever get any R&R when you was in Vietnam? I said, one time. You ever get any? What was that? What was that in country R&R city?
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Don't even, huh? I told Brother Steve, said, what, did they fly you down there in a helicopter? I said, yeah, after I walked 3 miles to get to it. He said, you walked 3 miles by yourself in Vietnam to get to a helicopter to fly? I said, amen! I wanted a hot shower. I got bacon and eggs.
Amen.
Amen. He said, you walked 3 miles in Vietnam. I said, 3 miles. Rice paddies, mud, swamp, jungle, 3 miles. Now I had my Susie Q with me, you know what I'm saying? Me and Brother Steve may have to put a little goat over around his place before this thing's over, too. Prowlers. Making right decisions. Amnon made a wrong decision about the friends he kept company with. Can I say to you that this was the beginning of his end? Folks, hey, I cannot stress it enough, but the company you keep can be the beginning of your end if it's not the right company. You mark that down. But I told you so. And I'm not telling you because I hate you. I'm telling you that because I love you. Demas made a wrong decision when he chose the world above Christ. Demas, having loved this present world, hath departed. Anybody in here tonight got affections for the world? I'm going to tell you what the world is. It's full of hell. It's full of sin. And she's going to reel and rock on the axis one of these days and melt with a fervent heat. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's not around the corner, not long down the road. We headed for an atomic fallout, ladies and gentlemen, if God don't divinely intervene, I'll tell you that. And if it was me and I was George Bush, I'd be the first one to pull the trigger. I wouldn't let them devils pull it on me first. You like me or lump me for that, don't make no difference to me one way or the other. But I'm telling you, there's only one thing I know that will cause the world to reel and rock on her axis. Come on in the house.
Amen.
You talking about blowing a hole in the ozone layer? It's coming, friend. It's going to get so hot. They may not be quite wrong on global warming. It's going to get so hot in the tribulation period. Men will gnaw their tongues for the pain because of the heat. I'd make it, if I hadn't never made a decision for Christ, I'd make one tonight. If you hear the gospel and you're lost and you never get saved tonight and God would come tonight, I'm telling you, you'd be one of them gnawing your tongue. You can mark that down, friend. Think about it. Think about it. A place where the fire is not quenched and their word dieth not. A place called hell. It's real. People are going there because they failed to make a right decision. They're going to hell. Oh, I will someday, preacher. What's wrong with today? Today is the day of salvation. Don't play games with God and don't count on some little old flimsy profession you made that wasn't worth a flip of a nickel, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you're saved by the grace of God. Trying to finish if I can. I say Moses made the right decision. When by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. He made a choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for only a season.
Amen.
I'm telling you that your pleasures are for a season. You realize, are you listening to me now? Y'all just give me this, boy, it's a nugget and a half. That a season is longer than a vapor. He gives your pleasures a longer period of time than what He does your life. And I'm going to tell you why he put it that way. He said, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. But he said, there's sin, there's pleasure in sin for a season. I'm going to tell you why he's telling you that. Are you listening to me? He's telling you that if you lay in those pleasures, they'll overtake you someday. Those pleasures will outlive your life and they'll take you over someday and you'll die in hell without God. If you fire me and run me off tonight, you can't say, Brother Hall did not tell you about God, about the grace of God, about heaven and about hell and about God's goodness to those that will put their faith and their trust in Him.
Amen.
Choose Him.
Yes.
Choose Him today, tonight, right now. Choose Him. I'm telling you, hell has enlarged herself and hell waits on you. If you're a Christ rejecter, hell will swallow you up someday.
Amen.
Well, I don't know who, but God's got my heart on somebody.
Great.
I don't preach like this on Wednesday nights, you know that. I don't preach like this very often. And I'm telling you, there's somebody here tonight needs to get born again. And there's somebody in here tonight that needs to stop hobnobbing and gird up the loins of their mind and pull their life back together.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I said, I'll take a chance on waiting until Sunday. Sunday may not get here for you. It may. And I'm not a prophet, nor a son of a prophet. And I'm telling you, Sunday don't have to get here for you. Little Ronnie Hessen pulled out on that motor scooter from my house. And our little saying was, hey, hey, hey. He said, hey, hey, hey. See you tomorrow at the ball diamond. You know, the next time I saw Ronnie was about 15 minutes later, landing in the back end of a hearse where a southbound freight train got him in Underwood, Indiana. When I went back here to see my brothers and my sister and have supper with them not long ago, I pulled in there where that little Pentecostal church is at and where the old post office used to stand that still sits over there. And I walked back over to where I saw that tar track for so long where it scooted up to that crossing and that train hit him. And I walked up to that little cross, where that track used to be. And I said, Ronnie, I hope I see you someplace besides the white throne. I don't know that I will and I don't know that I won't, but I hope I do. Now, I know he didn't hear me. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, life can be short. You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow.
Right.
Not one guarantee do you have of. You don't have a guarantee of another breath.
Amen.
I would choose rightly. It is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And you're going to have to say yes to Christ. Quit playing games, trying to hide from God. Say yes. Transaction so quickly was made. When Jesus said to that fella, John 5, he said, take up your bed and walk. And that guy just got up. That blind guy said, Lord, that I may receive my soul. Lord said, I will be that whole. What about it tonight? Have you ever made that choice? Have you ever made that decision? Let's stand together, please.